Our scripture references this morning that we're going to share are from the Old Testament, God's presence. And the scriptures are Psalms 145, verse 18, Isaiah 43, verses 2 and 3, and Exodus 33, verse 14. And from the New Testament, God's Word, Matthew 4:4, Luke 11:28, and John 1:1-4. And beginning with the Old Testament, we read Psalms 140. Okay, here we go. Glory to God. Psalms 145:18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. From Isaiah 43. When thou passest through the water, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, saith the Lord. And from Exodus 33:14, God said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Glory to the living God. And from the New Testament, beginning with Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Luke 11:28, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. It's not just a hearing, it's what we do with it. And from John 1:1-4, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. May the entry of God's word shine deeply into our hearts, into the crevices, the creases, the hidden places of our souls and all soul portions, and bring forth abundant life and light in Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Son of the living God. Glory to God. Lord, we just want to thank you and praise you this morning. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercies, Lord. I thank you for the ability to repent, Lord, that when we fall short, Lord God, when we respond to a situation in the natural, Lord God, and not allow the eyes of our understanding to bring forth revelation knowledge, that when we come to you in repentance, Lord God, you hear us, you forgive us, and you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And now, O Lord God of power and might, let your anointing, let the smearing, let that power that is resident within your word come upon this message and upon this messenger, that the message that you have given, Lord God, may indeed bring forth transformation, that the anointing will be upon the ears of the hearers, that they will not just hear pretty words, but they will hear and understand the anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage, every chain must fall beneath our feet. The prison doors must be opened and the prisoners set free by the anointing that is upon your word, Lord God. We thank you for the anointing. We thank you, Lord God, that it is not your desire that any should perish, but all should come to an understanding of the enlightenment of your word. May the light of your word, may the eyes of the understanding of every hearer be enlightened to see and behold and understand the goodness of you to us in the land of the living, and how you care for us, how you keep us, how you guard and protect us, how you encourage us, Lord God. Oh, we just thank you, Lord, for truly we have seen your goodness to us in the land of the living. Truly we know and understand that No good thing will you withhold from those that walk uprightly. Truly we know and understand that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper, and that every tongue rising against us in judgment, we have the ability and the capability to condemn, that they may not bear fruit. So may your word prosper in the hearts of the hearers, and may your word bear fruit in due season. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Our message this morning is entitled, How the Word Works. And our scriptural reference is Romans 10:8. And as we read from Romans 10:8, we find that it is written, and we're actually going to read 6-9, but our key scripture is from verse 8. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend to the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Praise God. God's word is awesome. It is mighty. It has different levels, different depths. So wherever we are in our spiritual walk, God brings that understanding to us of his word at the level where we can understand it, we can partake of it, and we can receive it. It's goodness of God. His word is not mysterious. It is, though it is hidden. If you're not in the body of Christ, and if you don't receive the word by revelation knowledge, you come to the wrong conclusion, because you are attempting to dissect it with your natural mind, with natural knowledge, and it doesn't work. God is a spirit. He created us spirits. We have souls, and we live in physical bodies. He is a spirit. His word is spirit. We are spirit. Jesus said, they that worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth. So that is something that we need to be aware of. When we don't understand what we have read, then we need to ask the Holy Spirit who resides within us. Jesus said, in that day, when he, the Spirit of truth, has, he will reveal to you everything that I have said. So if we don't understand a portion of scripture, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us revelation knowledge, that we will know and understand and have that revelation knowledge of what the word is saying, what he's really saying, because it is a mystery that is hidden, but is revealed, children of the living God. It's not a mystery to us. Jesus would say to his disciples when they asked him why he always taught in parables, he says it's not for them to understand, but unto you is given. So if you are a believer in Jesus of Nazareth, it is given unto you to be able to receive the engrafted word, to plant that word in your spirit, and to allow, to nurture that word, that it may grow and prosper and bring forth fruit in due season, that your life is lived by the fruit of the Spirit, as it is written, from faith to faith, the just shall live by faith. God does everything through faith in his word. And apart from his word, he does nothing. And I'm going to say that again. God does everything through faith in his word. And apart from his word, he does nothing. It is no mystery. And yet it is a mystery to those who believe not. For in God's realm, believing is seeing, not vice versa. To refresh our memories, let's briefly go to Genesis 1:1, and I'm going to go there, and it will be recorded. So if you don't go with me, if you didn't bring your word, if you didn't bring a notebook, then as you listen to this message again, then I would suggest that in order to receive the richness of the word of the living God, let us go back to the beginning that God had Moses to write the history of creation. And we're going to share, we can share 12 verses in the beginning, because you've got to see something. We're talking about the word of the living God. And how we as believers in Jesus Christ of Nazareth have that same ability to speak his word. We are to plant that word. We are to live by the fruit of that word. Everything that comes from us, Ephesians 4:29-30 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to edifying. But when we have the word on the inside of us, we will respond with the word. As we give up territory and we allow the Holy Spirit that resides on the inside of us to have control of us and have control of our lips, we will not speak just what appears in the natural, but the Holy Spirit of the living God, who is in control of us, or who should be in control of us. He is the Lord Advocate General of the Church, of the body of Jesus Christ. And so since he resides on the inside of us, and since he reveals to us what is going on, then when we need revelation knowledge, we should be able to receive that revelation knowledge from whatever situation or circumstance we are currently in, but from the Holy Spirit. And so we know what's going on, because we're not just looking at appearances. We're not just looking at virtual reality, because physical circumstances are virtual reality. The acronym for fear is false evidence appearing real. I'm going to say that again also. The acronym of fear, false evidence appearing real. Think about that. Think of all the times when you acted or reacted on something that appeared real, but in reality, it was only virtual reality. It was created specifically to delude and to deceive you. Okay? So we're in Genesis, and we're going to read the first 12 verses from Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that is residing in our reborn spirits, was hovering over the face of the waters. Now listen, verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and so it was. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And so what we have just witnessed is creation. And we have witnessed the fact that creation occurred when God said that God created with his words. Now, if a scientific background and you are skeptical about this rendering of creation, you say, well, it doesn't hold water. It doesn't. I love science. I am an amateur astronomer. I have never found anything in science, any of the branches of physical science, astronomy, cosmos, that negates the word of the living God, but rather it substantiates and it gives forth an aura of wow, because we see the awesome power of God, how God created with his words when he said, light be. And those molecules, those quarks, those atomic particles began to accrete. They began to come together. They began to rotate. And that rotation created heat, intense heat, and it created an explosion. And hydrogen, which is the most numerous gas in the universe, when that explosion occurred, then it created the second most numerous gas that just escaped my memory. But science substantiates the word of the living God. Okay? There's no ambiguity. Any ambiguity is there to deceive you into thinking that what God said is not true, to cause you to doubt God's word. I just wanted to throw that in there so you would know, because we get that quite frequently. And there is a definite difference between astronomy and astrology, okay? Things you need to go know. The verses that we have just read tell us, and God said, please take note of the fact, he did not hope, he did not wish, he did not speak what he did not expect. Well, how do you know that? Because the verses all end with, and it was so. This is how God created. Jesus would say, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you shall ask what you will. Is it possible he was letting us know our receiving is dependent upon what is stored in our hearts? Definitely food for thought. And I'm going to share with you, while I was in preparation for this word, a word that the Lord dropped into my spirit. It was 10:10:14. 99.9% of believers are in prison today. Just as Joseph was in prison by evidence that appeared real, so are we. That evidence appearing real is a manifestation of fear that has taken us captive. What opens the prison doors? What causes the chains to break away or the shackles to be unlocked? It is the word of God mixed with faith and spoken forth from our lips. Romans 8:15 says that we have not received the spirit of bondage again that we should fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. 2 Timothy 1:7 says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of authority. It says power, but it means authority, a spirit of love, and a sound mind. 1 John 4:8 says there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love is the love of God. God's love is perfect. Remember, he's just given us a spirit of fear, a spirit of love. That love that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, that's to replant the land. You know, in the natural, in a forest or wherever, when a wildfire has occurred and all of the vegetation has been burned, the land is then reseeded. when we come to the Lord, we are in a bad condition. You know, it doesn't matter what we have in the natural world. It doesn't matter our position in the natural world. Spiritually, we are decrepit. We are broken down. We are devastated. And in order for us to be built up, there has to be a reforestation. The Holy Spirit begins by shedding abroad, planting, sowing the seed of the love of God in our spirits. That's love. It grows, that is to grow up and become perfect. The first evidence of the Holy Spirit's abiding in us, according to Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, is love. The fruit of the Spirit, love. There's that same love active and operating in us that will enable us to become fear-free. In Luke 4:18, Jesus speaking, he says, "The Spirit of the living God is now upon me, for he has anointed me." Open the prison doors and set captives free. To open the eyes of the blind. To cause the lame to walk. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Isn't that awesome? This, once again, is reaffirming to us the goodness of God. Jesus said to the rich young ruler who came to him and said, "Good master," he says, "Why call ye me good? There's only one good, and that is my Father which is in heaven." So when we say that God is good, it is more than just a Christianese slang. It should be based on an eternal verity. An eternal verity is truth. That God indeed is good. That we have not even found the depths. We have not even been able to go down to the depths of God's goodness. We just scratched around the surface of God's goodness because we will not allow His Spirit to take us down deeper that we may experience the goodness of God and what He has a plan for us. The antibiotic, God's Word, will destroy the virus of fear in its tracks, reaching all the way down to the unconscious and subconscious levels of our soul and into our spirit. Now you may be thinking, "Well, you know, that sounds too good to be true. You mean all I have to do is confess the word?" No. That's what happened in the 70s and 80s when the word was preached and attempts to use it as a magic talisman resulted. They failed miserably. People were disillusioned, and many fell away. Once again, Satan's deception had prevailed. Why? They were the hearts and the parable of the sower. They heard the word. They believed the word. And the word grew for a brief season. But when persecution arose for the word's sake, the word having no depths, they faltered and fell away. Christianity is a lifestyle. It is total transformation that begins when the spirit is reborn, the soul portions are healed by the entry of the word, the emotions, the intellect, and the will. The mind is renewed by the word, and the thought entry door is monitored by the word. That process continues outflowing into our bodies, into our relationships, into our partnerships, into our jobs, and definitely into our ministries. Now, the word, how the word works. The word is described as, and we begin with Hebrews 11:3, the world frame of the word of God. See, we just read that in Genesis. The world's, with an S, were framed by the word of God. When we come to understand that spiritually, that the world, in other words, everything that is seen was created from what was not seen. Because God spoke it in existence. God said, words have creative power or destructive power depending on their genesis. The words we have creative power, or they have destructive power, depending upon their genesis. That is why Ephesians 4:29 and 30 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, that it may edify. And the word edify means to build up. That's what we as believers do. We don't sit around and badmouth and castigate and slander and lie and all of these things about people, especially about our own brothers and sisters in Christ. We walk backwards and we cover them with the blood of Jesus and with the garment of salvation. And we ask God to forgive them and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. But we cover them that their nakedness will not be seen. That's part of the transformation process. The word of God is for. Proverbs 30, verse 5 is for. No additives, no preservatives. It's never needed in a minute because the word of God is pure. Is not 99.9% pure with 1% or something else added. It is pure. 101%. Psalms 119 verse 105 says that it is a lamp to our feet. So it's light. The word of God is light. It is a lamp unto our feet. In other words, it will direct our path. It will keep us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. For not only is it a lamp to our feet, but it is a light unto our path. It is a fire and a hammer. Jeremiah 23:29. It is food for the perishing and water to the thirsty. Jesus said, it is not by bread alone that man lives, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father, in Luke 4:4 and also Matthew 4:4. Why? God is life, and his words are life words. They are brimming over with life-enhancing molecules. The word of the living God, how it works. It works in us. As we plant it, the word in our mouths, we plant it by speaking it. We meditate on that word. We do those things that are pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God as part of the transformation process that God is completely. If you know anyone that restores antique furniture, and if you have an opportunity to watch that person, it is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. Part of my preparation for the ministry is God taught me how to restore antique furniture. And I expected it, you know, I'm going to do a little removal, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do a little that, and, you know, I'm going to be finished in a day or at least a week. And I found out that it was a process. I had to apply diligence, and I also had to apply patience because it didn't happen overnight. There may be a scratch or a mark or something that I applied or restored. I had to let it dry. It didn't completely cover it. I had to apply another one. I might have to go back to the store and talk to the dealer about what I could use. But it was a process. And that's what happens to us. It is a process. Yes, God's word works, but God's word is not instant. It is not a matter of him tweaking his nose, our tweaking our nose, and having an instant transformation take place. But if we believe in the word of the living God, if we are diligent to continue planting the word of the living God, because we believe that in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. So we continue to plant that word. We continue to nurture that word. We continue to create the of God's protection that this word will not be stolen, that false evidence appearing real will not be able to enter and to snuff the word, that the cares of this world, the lust of the eyes and other things entering in, worry, doubt, fear, will not be able to over, those are weeds, will not be able to overgrow, overrun the word seed that we are planting. So once again, it is a process. We don't live in an agrarian society. Many of our city kids, city people have no idea of what it takes to grow a crop. But those of us that were raised up on farms, have some farming knowledge, understand the planting. There's a season for planting. There's a season for nurturing the young plant, protecting it, making sure it has what it needs to be able to grow. First of all, the soil. And we see that in the parable that Jesus spoke about the soil, that of the four types of hearts that he spoke about, only one heart brought forth fruit in its season. Why? Because the soil had been prepared. So it's more than just hearing the word and say, oh, that sounds good, and thinking that we're going to then use the word as an investment strategy or whatever, and it's a get-rich-quick scheme. It's not that. It is a process. And in that process of planting and growing and nurturing that word and spending time in God's presence and giving quality time to his word. And then there comes a time when we don't speak. We learn to sit at the feet of God. We sit in a listening mode. He might speak and he might not speak, but we're there. We are presented ourselves. We're not asking for anything. We're not doing anything. When our thoughts begin to stray, we keep bringing them back to the God setting. We bring up, well, I don't have time for all of that. Well, then we need to look at our schedules and schedule God time. Just as if you have a family, no matter how much your job requires of you, if you expect to have an enjoyable family life, you have to schedule family time. Because otherwise, you might have a successful job, but you look around and your family are long gone, and you don't even know where they went nor when they went, because you did not take the time to grow, to nurture that family love. Well, it's the same thing with God. We have to take that time. We have to be willing to set time apart, God time, quality God time, which normally should be at the end of the day rather than at the end of the day. We set time apart to listen to God, to fellowship with God. When we're driving to work, you know, if you have a period of some miles to drive to work, turn off the radio, communicate with God. Let that be your God time. You know, but we are the ones that have to be desirous of developing a relationship with God, because it's not just about speaking the word that is important. But I don't want to give the false impression that you can do anything you want to. You don't have to reverence God. You can do anything you want to. But as long as you're speaking the word and you're going to reap a harvest, unfortunately, that's not going to happen. Christianity is a lifestyle. It involves transformation. And that transformation comes through the word, through our reverence of the word, through our planting the word, because we believe that the word is true. Just as we set aside funds. During our working years, we have become programmed that you've got to save so much for retirement, and you've got to save now for long-term care in case you end up in a convalescent home or something. You've got to save for this, and you need earthquake insurance if you live in earthquake country. You need flood insurance if you live in flood country. But all of these that say set apart, save. So we need to learn to set apart time for God on a daily basis. And as we plant that word, as we have communication with God the Father through Christ Jesus and by His Spirit, then we will begin to see the fruit of the word that we have planted in our hearts. For the word is a seed that we plant by speaking. Our text scripture, the word in your mouth. We plant that word in our spirit by speaking it, believing it, and letting it perform the transformation process that is needful and necessary. And once again, as we close, everything God does comes through the word. God does not do anything before He speaks it. He says He does nothing on the earth except He speak it through His prophets, through His servants, the prophets. So it has been spoken. It has been put out there. It has to be put out there in the atmosphere. I don't understand everything of how it works, but I know that it works. I know that it has to be spoken. And I know that when we speak God's word, when we plant God's word, then we should be expecting a harvest. Praise God. Glory to God. We just want to thank God for His goodness, for His mercy. We want to thank God for His provision. Saints of the living God, God has made every provision through His word for every circumstance and every situation that would arise in our lives. There's a provision. And if we ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us the provisions for wherever we are and whatever that need is, that we can begin to plant that word and protect that word and do not allow false evidence appearing real to destroy that word. In due season, we shall reap. Well, how do you know that, Pastor? Because God says of Himself that He's not a man that He should lie, neither son of man that He should repent. Furthermore, He says that He watches over His word to perform it. Furthermore, He says that He will not alter the thing that has gone forth out of His mouth. He also says, is anything too hard for me? And then He said, behold, I am the Lord, I change not. So we have all of this evidence. And this is not false evidence appearing real. This is a real thing. This is bankable. This you can have trust, you can have confidence in. We can have confidence in God because our relationship with God is not like the relationships that we have on earth. Because we might have confidence in somebody and, you know, and they do something and we're like, I'm out of here. Oh, no, 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 this is it. You know, goodbye, avisain, arrivederci, hasta la vida, sayonara, I'm out of here. But our relationship with God is different. He's dependable because God loves us. And He has said that He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He said that He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He says, though your father and your mother forsake you, that He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. We can have confidence in God. And that's awesome. And so I thank you this morning for us here at Lion of Judah Worship Center. And more, may the peace and the presence of God Almighty, possessor of heaven and earth, go with you this week. And may you hear the voice of His Spirit speaking to you, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And may He strengthen you. And may you return next week for another smorgasbord from the word of the living God. Be blessed.